It's the PB&J Show with your host Patrick Butler and Jesse Hutmaker.
Welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I am the PB in the equation, Patrick Butler, and joining me is the J, Jesse, all the way from New Orleans. Jesse, what's going on, man?
Oh, Pat, you know, yesterday we got 3 months worth of rain in about 2 hours, so we're back to normal, I guess, for the month. I don't know. It's nice and sticky out. We extended our stay at home, do not do whatever crap thing to the middle of the month. But the thing I found really interesting is I went out for a bike ride today for about 2 hours, and I'm seeing so many people out. And the really cool thing is people are, you know, unless they're a family, they are social distancing. They're trying to keep as far away from each other as they can. I did see one of our local news guys who we worked on his bike a few months back and said hello to him. And he was telling me he was loving his bike. And I saw so many people I had sold bikes to. So it was kind of weird. Everybody's like, hey, loving my bike. I'm out on it. Check me out. I'm like, yeah. You know, I'm in a headwind, you got a tailwind, I'm dying, you're cruising, so let's just move on here. But other than that, everything's going all right. How about you? How about Omaha? You got a little snow there this past week.
Yeah, a couple days ago we had snow. We had about 6 inches, and within one day it melted off. So we've gone through some extremes. We are entering into spring, which is a good thing. People have been out and about, to your point, and we are definitely walking on different sides of the sidewalk. It's hilarious to see it happen. People going out of their way to give you some distance, which is awesome. So it's been crazy, man. We're just trying to weather it just like everybody else. But as we do, thought you and I would chat because a pretty big subject has kind of come up lately with you personally, and I've gone through it myself in the past. And thought it might be a good subject to talk about, and that's getting prepared and getting prepared in a big way. So thought we'd talk about this because, unfortunately, within the last month, you've gone through the passing of your father. Your wife has gone through the passing of her mother, and a handful of years ago, I went through the passing of my mother. And that sounds like a tough subject, and it is. I don't want to make light of it, but it's kind of brought light to one particular area that I thought you and I could talk about, and you've definitely gone through this recently, and that is more specific, getting prepared, because there's things that you as a family member have to prepare for in the wake of things happening, and there's actions that we can take now to prepare for ourselves and our family members, and it's just... you know, given the circumstances of what you went through, I thought it'd be good to talk about some of the things that may have occurred and kind of get to the point about some things that may affect other people. So there's our setup.
All right. Yeah, good. You know, let's go one step further back. The beginning of the year, actually end of last year, lost a good friend, and kind of ties into all this. He did not have any plan and hadn't spoke of anything to his brother, his mother, or his father. So they were just really going by whatever they thought would be best. And I remember after all that, I believe you and I were talking, and I was like, man, I could get my shit together. All I know is I've told you what I want played at my party, and you know, I'm going to give you the list of where I want my ashes scattered. But beyond that, I didn't have any medical directives, nothing in place. So, excuse me, it kind of brought all that into focus and made me realize that we're not young anymore.
I'm glad you started with that and went back, because that's a really great point. Unfortunately, you lost a friend that was very similar age to where we are right now. And that's kind of a wake-up call because, you know, a lot of us go through life and think, hey, I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with that later. I'll get to that. I don't have to worry about that right now. But the truth is, we don't know what tomorrow brings. And in that case, unfortunately, you lost a friend and their family had to pick up the pieces. And to your point, try to figure out and assume what he would have wanted. So that makes it difficult, whether it's that circumstance or even more specific to what you just went through, a parent. There's a lot of things you got to get together. And that was an eye opener.
Yeah, definitely. You know, funeral preparedness should be a course that's taught in high school and definitely in college. You know, so many things. Fortunately, in my situation with Gene, I kind of had started speaking a couple years ago, just making sure that things were in place. You know, starting the conversation, just about what do you want done? You know, songs you'd like to hear, you know, those type of things. And then as we got closer, 2 years ago, I believe we had talked about a will, and we had really lengthy discussions about that. And actually leading up to his passing, I had spoke with family friends that handle wills and estates and ran through a bunch of stuff with them, kind of telling them what was going on, where we were at. And at that time I had to have the hard conversation with my mom to, you know, make sure we need to see a copy of the title on the house. We need to see all the bank stuff. We need to see copies of the pension. You know, we need to make sure all that is locked tight, that there's no room for any interference, anybody claiming anything. And, you know, my mom was, you know, I mean, she was kind of not wanting to do it, but I will give her credit. She did reach out to Forest Lawn down the street from their house and got outstanding service from Teresa there. And Teresa's been following up with her for guidance and everything, but she laid everything out. And then when I got there, my mom just gave it to me, and I went for it, not really knowing what the hell I was doing. Marvin and Teresa, they were both excellent in guiding me through the process. You know, I told them up front what I kind of was looking to spend, what I didn't want to do, what I did want to do, and went from there. But you know, it's you know, I got off the plane and an hour later I'm sitting in a funeral home discussing these things. It's still kind of surreal. You know, I may have had a lot to drink on the flight here, or flight to Omaha. So my mind was like, I don't know. And then I'm getting hit with all these numbers. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me figure these things out. What do we need? What do we have to do? But it's an eye opener, you know. And fortunately, his stuff was kind of locked down early and taken care of. So all I had to do is read through everything and make sure there was nothing where there would be any challenging. And I showed it to the lawyer, and the lawyer's like, nope, you're good. Don't worry about it. You're fine. And you know, if anyone questions, drop our name, drop our firm, and that'll pretty much bring everything to a halt. And I was like, okay, good to know, you know? So very, very very much a learning experience that, you know, in that time, you don't really want to learn that kind of shit.
Absolutely. Well, we've got two things there. If we can just push pause for a second and talk about that. We've got the fact that you had to jump into things, as you mentioned, after getting on a plane and really focus more on the service and the funeral arrangements in that particular case. But prior to that, you had been talking about preparation ahead of time. And that's a key place, obviously, to start. And while we're no experts, but we've definitely gone through some things now that have put it in perspective and really laid importance into the fact that you do have to prepare. And I'll tell you, in my particular case, personally, I had read about a story about a woman whose husband passed, and she didn't do anything. She never had to do anything with the bills, the finances. He took care of everything, made all the arrangements on a monthly basis. And after he passed, she didn't even know where to begin. She didn't even have passwords to get into accounts. She didn't know where to begin. And so what she ultimately did was made a website to help people get prepared. And it's funny, I went to the website. I was like, oh my gosh, this is important. I printed off all the materials that she recommended, a checklist, kind of what to do. I printed it all off and then I put it in a folder and I set the folder down and I literally didn't touch it for easily a year or more. And then all of a sudden I kept pushing the folder around when I was cleaning and moving it to another spot. And finally it kind of hit me on the head. Everything happened with your friend and I had kept reading other stories. I was like, I better do this. I literally took action. And within days I had, the will, the power of attorney. I already had life insurance policies in place for many years, but I'll tell you, Jesse, it was like a weight was off of my shoulders. I felt very relieved to have those things in place and off that list.
I hear you. And I commend you because I've started to. I got a lot of it written down, bits and pieces. I haven't put it all together yet. You know, there's part of me that every time I think I want to do it, I'm like, I don't want to go down that path today. And then, you know, I mean, beginning of March, you know, I lose Jean, and 2 weeks ago, lose my mother-in-law. And, you know, now it's like, well, it doesn't really matter how you feel about this. You got to get this shit done because, you know, only a few people really know what I want done. And, you know, the two main people that know are the two people I'm with the most. So if something happens with one of them, you know, we're kind of screwed on that. So, you know, I definitely need to get that going. It's not a fun topic. You know, I took a wills and estates class when I was in getting my paralegal degree. And I got to tell you, like half the time, it was really difficult to just even like want to digest it because you didn't want to think about it. So.
Well, I will say, I know everybody's situation is different personally. There, you know, when you deal with finances, and your assets, if you have them, things of that nature. And it's not a fun topic to your point, but I will say in defense of trying to get things prepared, in many cases, it's not as hard as you think it is. And there's a lot of different, whether you use a lawyer or use something online, there's a lot of great online resources. It's fairly inexpensive if you're doing it simply, and it's not as hard as you think. And so I say that in hopes that it might encourage other people to kind of get some things prepared and get it together so you can help your family out, just to be prepared.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, I think for me, it's more about the subject matter than the actual process. You know, I have to, you know, for me, the biggest thing is going to be trying to decide who gets first pick at my music collection, who gets second pick, you know, and what football stadium I want my ashes at, you know, those kind of trivial things, that every time I say those things, I get a look, and I'm like, I'm serious. This needs to happen. And, it's not difficult. I think it's more of coming to terms where you are, and being able to handle the fact that it could happen. You know, it may happen now with all this shit going on with COVID-19. You never know. I mean, and then you're kind of in a situation where you're gonna have limited people to talk to and share those things with. So. definitely something that people really should think about and not look at the aspect of what it is you're thinking about, but the alleviating the stress and pressure from those that you love and those that are near and dear to you.
Well, and that's just it, because as you full well know now, unfortunately, it does turn into a pressure filled situation in some respects, because especially if you're the one that has to step in and take care of things, suddenly there's a lot of emotion involved. There's other people throwing their opinions at you and trying to figure things out for you and help you, so to speak. But sometimes that help can kind of twist things and cloud things. And so if you can be prepared, you can help your family members out, because suddenly things are just going haywire. To your point, you're off the plane and trying to follow up and prepare details, and there's a lot of numbers being thrown at you, and funerals are expensive, man.
Oh yeah. They are. Especially if you want to be in a coffin, you know. I mean, I know you can do it a la carte and go to Costco and get a coffin. But you know, in that situation, I arrived on a Tuesday and the funeral was on a Friday. I wanted everything done as quickly as possible. I know it ended up being on a Friday the 13th, but in my mind, it was more about I wanted to have it done. Also, they were saying that there was going to be snow on Saturday, which there was snow. You know, I wanted to have everything done so I could focus on being with my mom and helping her transition, and kind of being able to we didn't talk a lot the last couple of days. We didn't talk much. We were just kind of there. We'd say things to each other and you know, kind of go through where we were at with things and what needed to be done, and kind of put plans into place, get the ball rolling, so to speak. Didn't have very long conversations. Usually just, you know, something would pop into one of our heads, and then I would tell her what needed to be done by the time I come visit again. And to her credit, she's been really, really good at doing those things. But you know, my goal was to get everything done and be able to focus on the next phase of life for my mom, and just being there for her. The last thing I wanted to do is, you know, have bad weather, have it on a Monday, and then have to leave the next day. I was just trying to get things done and put it together. You know, and you learn so much. You learn so many crazy things about what the actual cost is. Obituaries, Jesus Christ, to run those in the paper, those you're looking at, just a simple one is $80 a day. I mean, just a simple one. It was like, they should give you a whole page for that, but you know, it was crazy.
No, absolutely. The costs do creep up, and it's astounding. By the way, you guys did a great job of pulling that together and making a nice service. Everything looked amazing, and that came off very, very tasteful. So that was wonderful. But man, I can't believe you and your wife going through that same thing basically within a month. And I'm so sorry. And it really kind of pushed you and I to talk about this tonight and push it forward. And again, I know it's a tough subject, but you know what? You can approach it from a lighter area and just really approach it from a mindful area that you're trying to help yourself as well as your family. And I think that starts to take a little bit of that edge off and that grim aspect off.
Oh, definitely. One thing I would like, if I'm going to give a piece of advice besides, you know, preparing everything, you know, shortly after it happened with my friend Jamie, after his memorial service, I started thinking about who I wanted speaking at at my funeral or at my party. And so I started getting that in place, and, you know, Of course, you and I, you're going to be in it, and you know. But I've already started kind of correlating things because I got to tell you, when I had to write that eulogy for Gene, it was really tough because you got so many emotions going on in your head, and you got a house full of people that are all wanting to know what's going on with this and that and the other, and you know, you're trying to protect your mom from so much of that stuff so she can just kind of ease into everything. And, you know, I had started writing down notes when I came back at the beginning of the month. I started jotting things down. And when I sat down to write it, it was so much easier because I had that blueprint, if you will, of where I wanted to go and what I wanted to say and important things. You know, and there's a lot of things I put down that I didn't use because when I went back and read through things, I liked what I had to say more, and it was more meaningful and more things that people could actually take something from instead of just me sharing personal, you know, actually, since you delivered it for me on my behalf, which was, I can't thank you enough for that, but there were so many things that would have just been me and him, and I didn't want to share inside jokes or things that we both laughed about that nobody else would get. I wanted to just kind of share stuff that were nice memories that I'm sure also a lot of other people had similar memories with him. So, but yeah, you know, once I started thinking about that, I already kind of have a short list of things. For you to talk about that I want to talk about, and knowing what position I will be in when I'm speaking is going to make a big difference too. Thank goodness I'm not the opener, and thank God I'm not the closer. That's all I got to say.
That's right. Jesse and I have taken it definitely to another level. We have prepared our music and our lineup for speaking for our own personal services. Talk about being prepared. We've got that nailed down, man. And I'll tell you, something else hit me when you were talking about that. You were talking about going back for a second, Jesse, you were talking about, you know, family in the house, and you're trying to get your thoughts together and get things together. The other element that unfortunately a lot of people go through, and I did myself, is it's difficult to do this when you've got family that doesn't necessarily see eye to eye on things. Now you throw emotion on top of that. People are grieving. People don't see eye to eye. And I can tell you from personal experience, that was definitely part of the situation that I went through. And that just made it even more challenging. It just sucks. And so that's another little element, a little layer to add to the old mix.
Yeah. I mean, I can't lie. I've lived in my bubble. I've lived away from Omaha for so long that I have, even though my mom tells me the doings, I put that shit so far out of my brain. And as everything was leading up, it was all coming back, and it still is. And, you know, there's a few of them that have gotten really close to getting the words from me. And, you know, I tell them, I was like, I stay in my bubble for a reason. I come back, I see my mom, I see Gene, I see my friends, and my friends, the people that came to the visitation and came to the funeral and came to visit Gene the last days, those are people that are my family. They're my family in Omaha. I don't care what some title is. These are the people that understand and have never asked anything of my parents besides, you know, that they make sure that I don't do something crazy, or if I do something crazy, you know, talk me down. So yeah, the family dynamics. It's, you know, one family member who my mom, they hadn't talked to, kind of pushed they went their separate ways. She keeps calling my mom and ask about insurance, about the life insurance, and about this, that, and the other. And I was like, hey, just give her my number. I'll gladly take that call, and I'll make sure that nobody, she doesn't talk to any of us again, you know? So I totally get that. So that's also one of the horrible things that comes out of it is if you're not careful, you can lose family members. You know, not only are you putting to rest a family member, you may be losing family members in the process of, you know, trying to put something together and move on with your life, you know? So I totally get that. And I totally feel for you. And nobody should have to go through that. But I think, you know, you and I always try to look for silver lining and things. And I think it makes you stronger. I know now, after all my interactions with the family members, I'm sticking to my guns. You know, if there's ever anything, you know, they're like, you can't take our aunt away from Omaha. And I was like, fuck, I can. You guys have had her for 25 years. I've been other places, you know, so let's figure it out. You say you can come visit, you know. So anyway, let's go do happy thoughts. Let's get to the punch list.
That's right. Time for the punch list. Things that we're watching, reading, listening to, and drinking this week. And I'll tell you what, I'll ask you this. What are you watching lately?
You know, it's been kind of a weird month. The last 2 weeks, Beth has been with her family in Mobile, sifting through all the fun stuff. So I've kind of not watched TV, but prior to that, I was really getting into 60 Days In. I'm addicted to that damn show. I don't know if you know the premise where they have people disguised as prisoners that go in there to try to see what's going on, what's taking place in the prison. You know, how are the guards? How are the inmates? How do the drugs get in there? Those kind of things. And this past season, they only did it for 30 days, but they took people like that were good people. Like they brought a guy that was the guard, whatever the guard is. And they got a cop, but he looks, you know, he did a lot of detective work. They had another CEO, that's what they are. They had a CEO in the women's pod and a EMT that also is a firefighter. So like people that are going to be able to give them good insight. And it's just prison is a whole podcast, Pat. I got to tell you, it's fascinating. The shit that goes on there. But yeah, 60 Days In is what I've been watching besides YouTube videos of music. So what's been going on there in quarantine life?
I blew through the morning show on Apple TV. I did the trial so I could watch that and see what Apple TV was all about. And I decided just to binge it just so I could watch it and be done with it. And I'm glad I did. Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon are fabulous in it. I think that show is pretty well done. It continually surprised me to see that they didn't take the cliched routes that you would normally think that they would in certain respects with that type of show and that premise. And I can't wait for the next season. I know that they were going to be shooting soon, hopefully, but I think they did a really great job and I really like that show a lot. It's all set on a morning show like the Today Show. There's called the Morning Show, but it's how Reese got into her position alongside Jennifer Aniston, and I thought it was really well done. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, it was really interesting because our impression of Jennifer Aniston is Friends, you know, the happy-go-lucky, and that show, she did an outstanding job. Reese did a great job. Steve Carell did a great. I loved all the elements of that show. That was very good. When we got our phones, we got a free year to it. So haven't watched much on that since then. But there's a couple things coming up that I was interested in watching, so I'll have to check that out. All right. You're always – oh, wait. Hold on. I wanted to plug this. The PB did an outstanding television interview with WGN, and he's got a few more coming up this next week. If you know, you guys are into watching some news news shows. Also, on his Floyd's Facebook, there are some outstanding quarantine life tips on hair. So, Pat, I'm gonna also say I did watch those repeatedly. You know, I'm probably the minority that the introductions were almost as good as the material that you're discussing. But, you know, I don't do that for a living, so the introductions for me were great. So awesome that you're getting some nice publicity for the company for your hard work on that. I know that you've been really, really trying to crank out some good work during all this quarantine and keep people upbeat and keeping their hair fresh.
Well, no, thanks, man. Thanks for the plug. Those were fun because I got to live out some Full House dreams as well as a Magnum PI dream shooting the intros. But it's turned into some good opportunities to get on the air. And that was a kind of a cool thing to go on to WGN. And tomorrow is going to be good day in DC and the morning show in Denver. So I'm excited to get on both of those and talk about Floyd's and trying to help people out during the quarantine. But let's not get away from that list and tell me what you're listening to, man.
Listening to, I'm all in on Jason Isbell. Somebody at work was playing Sirius XM Outlaw Country, and they played his new single like 2 days in a row. And then later on in the day, they went deep in the catalog. And then somebody had to be a fan because they started pulling out a bunch of his Drive-By Trucker songs. And so I, you know, at the house by myself, can't watch anything that we watch together. So I literally went to bed every night watching Jason Isbell videos, you know, really, really getting into a lot of the songs more. And I will say that with everything going on in my life, the last, you know, 6 weeks, some of these songs, the words are just hitting even closer and meaning even more. Jason Isbell, looking forward to his new album. I think it's a birthday present for you. It comes out right around your birthday. So, that'll be a nice little gift for you. What have you been listening to?
Yeah, I'm excited for that too, man. It comes out on the big birthdays, which is pretty cool. I'll tell you what, I've been preparing for this coming Friday, for on Apple TV. Once again, the Beastie Boys movie, the documentary, is going to be on this Friday. And so I finished up the book, kind of revisiting some of the stories in the book. And then it also led me down the path of revisiting the catalog once again. And especially as you read how they recorded some things and what they had to do to get some of the sounds, it's just amazing to go back through the catalog and listen to what they did and what they're going through at the time. So definitely hit deep on the Beastie Boys catalog, and I'm ready for Friday night. That's for sure. What are you reading, man? Reading?
I ain't gonna lie. I haven't been reading a damn thing. You know, at our work, we've been doing everything via email, setting up appointments. So I've been literally 8 hours a day reading emails, kind of feeling like I'm back in the corporate world. So by the time my day is over, I don't want to read a damn thing because I've back and forth emailed, you know, 25 to 30 people a day. So I've been slacking on that, but I did remember, going through a bunch of crap. I found a book that I bought like 2 years ago and I forgot what happened to it. So that's going to get back in that'll get in the mix here soon. So what have you been reading?
I got two things that have been rolling through. One of them is a fiction piece that I bought years ago and I forgot about. And I was going through some books and I realized that I had never gotten to it. So I dug that out. It's called The Story of Edgar Sawtelle, and did very well on the charts years ago as a fiction piece. And so been kind of going through that, and I'm just getting into that about the first quarter in that one. And then on the kind of the work related or business side, I'm reading a book called Persuasion, and it's all about how you speak to people and how you kind of lead things in when you're giving a presentation and trying to really work with a group so you can have them kind of really adopt your ideas. So that's an interesting business book. And that leaves us with the biggest topic of them all. What are you drinking?
Well, I'm not going to lie. I go back to the old standby, the old vodka tonic. I did mix in some Abita Purple Haze and Abita Straw Gator last week, but you know, it all comes back to the vodka. Have you gotten off of? Have you gotten back on the horse?
I've
again?
Slowly taken steps. I've dipped my toe in the water, the alcohol pool, and I'm slowly easing in. This week I was drinking some Lagunitas IPA, but what I tried this, man. Check this out. Suddenly a sampler pack made its way to my fridge, a sampler pack of the, what is it? The Bud Light seltzer flavored waters. And you know, there's Truly, there's the White Claws. Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws. And I've tried them and I think they're just okay. But I'll tell you what, Anheuser-Busch, Bud Light, theirs are pretty tasty. The flavor is actually really good. And so I gave it a shot just because I was really curious. I wanted to see how they compared. Not that I'd really go after it all the time, but for what it's worth, they're actually pretty decent. And I was actually pleasantly surprised with it.
Speaking of that, I was over a couple of weeks ago. I went to the two women that got me down here that I stayed with, Whitney and Amanda, and we socially distanced and socially drank, and they had High Noon Sun Sips. It's a black, the one I had is black cherry vodka with real fruit juice, sparkling water, and natural flavors. Shit is peligroso. I mean, I had to stop. I'm like, at three, I'm like, if I go any further, I'm sleeping on your porch and it's hot out. I don't want to do that. It went down really, really smooth. But High Noons. It was tasty since you mentioned sparkling beer stuff anyway. So anyway, I apologize that I got a little wordy and ran on and made this a little longer podcast.
Hey, it's an important subject, and I hope people get something out of it and can do some things for themselves and for their families. So on that note, we're going to wrap down on the PB&J show. We appreciate you joining us. So we hope you stay safe, stay well. And remember, the PB&J show is a Find the River production. Jesse, thanks, my man. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. See you soon.
All right. Take care, everybody.